From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The 2020 elections are not just about a race for president. A large number of incumbents in Congress are also up for re-election, among them Maine's Republican Senator Susan Collins. Often touted as one of the more reasonable and even liberal-leaning Republicans, Collins has sometimes voted with Democrats on some social issues. But her vote to confirm Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh last year, despite his certain views against women's right to reproductive health care, incensed many in her home state of Maine. Now, at least two Democratic women are running to challenge Collins. One has been endorsed by the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee. The other has been endorsed by the Justice Democrats and other progressive groups and is our guest today. Betsy Sweet is former director of the Maine Women's Lobby and the Maine Commission for Women. Welcome to the program, Betsy.
Thank you, Sonali. Thanks for having me.
So the Justice Democrats is, of course, the organization that launched the candidacy of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Ilhan Omar and has really become one of these organizations that has championed progressive, younger or, you know, women of color and women in general in Congress and has done it quite successfully. As we've seen, even just a handful of powerful, vocal women can make a huge difference. Tell me first why you are running for the seat to challenge Susan Collins.
I think it's time that we have bold and courageous leadership in Washington. You know, I liken it to the situation where the house is on fire. If you look at the issues that plague Maine and the country between protecting a woman's right to choose, racial and economic justice, climate change, those things, it's like the house is on fire. I mean, we have serious issues, and I feel like Congress is bringing a watering can to try and put out the fire. And so it's time, I think, to have some bold leadership and for some major truth telling, and to also take a look at what's happening to our democracy at its very roots. I have been an advocate in the state of Maine for 37 years, working on behalf of women, low-income folks, working families to get health care, on environmental issues, making sure that people with mental health issues get the services that they need, people with addiction. So I have a background of being an advocate for people who have not had their voices heard at those policy tables. And so I feel like I am the sweet spot, I can't help myself, of someone who actually knows how to get legislation done, knows how to bring people together, but still tell the truth and tell it loudly and have bold, courageous, new ideas. You know, I was one of the people, the first people in the country to write and have the first public financing for elections in the country. So we started a clean elections program, you know, back in 1996, when everyone said it couldn't be done. And we were appalled that a state Senate race in Maine cost $6,000 to run for, which now, of course, is laughable. But I saw that money was at the root and was sort of the rotten core of what was happening, and it's only gotten worse. So I think those things have propelled me to say, yeah, it's time to start telling the truth and time to take some bold action on behalf of the people of Maine. We've lost our voice in Senator Collins, and so it is time for us to actually do good things. And the idea that there are so many new, young, fantastically courageous women and men being endorsed by Justice Democrats and being elected means that we have time to actually get some things, real things done, and honestly, to save our democracy.
So you ran in the Democratic primary for governor last year, I understand. What did that race teach you about, you know, what you're embarking on now? And are there lessons learned that you can apply now?
Yes, definitely. We had an incredible race. I ran as the only Democrat to use the public financing clean election system. And to do that, Sonali, you have to get thousands of people to give you $5, and nobody gives you any big money. When I entered that race, it was a seven-way primary, and everybody else in the primary had held elective office before. And as I said, I've been an advocate. And people and the insiders and the traditional Democratic machine thought that I would come in seventh or maybe sixth. But we found that by talking to people at their kitchen tables and engaging people in what they hoped for, what they wanted, and their enthusiasm and their belief in the very tenets of democracy and getting money out of politics, we came in a very close third, and almost we're almost very successful in this race. So it made me realize a couple of things. Most importantly, the people are hungry. They are hungry for serious policy. They are hungry for optimism and hope. And they are hungry for someone who talks to them and, most importantly, listens and tells the truth. The way we ran our campaign was we didn't spend a lot of money on commercials. We didn't spend a lot. We didn't have a lot of money. We didn't spend a lot of money. But we went everywhere in the state. It is a big state. Like California, it's a very big state, a very rural state. But we went to every corner of the state listening to people. And listening to their challenges and listening to their stories and listening to their good ideas about what needs to be done. And I think by bringing those folks together and sharing those ideas across the state, we actually were able to do really well.
Yeah. And in fact, that is what famously Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is known to have done and emerged from seemingly out of nowhere to beat the longtime incumbent there. Just a lot of footwork and knocking on doors, which if done right can undermine the millions of dollars that that other candidates can throw at any given race. So let's talk specifically about Susan Collins. As I mentioned, you know, she's sort of been seen as an occasional vote with Democrats, along with Alaska's Lisa Murkowski on some social issues, which is what a lot of people were hoping she would tap into last year in the confirmation vote for Brett Kavanaugh. But she was very adamant that in meeting with him, she was convinced that he would do the right thing and would preserve Roe versus Wade, because although she's a Republican, she is a pro-choice Republican, or she says she is a pro-choice Republican. Was that vote on Kavanaugh what has really spurred the opposition to her? I understand that she's having tremendous trouble raising money for her candidates for her re-election bid.
Yeah, well, the money that she's raising is all from special interests out of state. In her last report, she raised over $1 million, but only $9,000 of it was from Maine people, and it was a very few Mainers. So here in Maine, we feel like, so many of us feel like that vote for Kavanaugh was a punch in the gut. But it wasn't just Kavanaugh. She's voted for 32 other lower court judges who are anti-choice. She voted for the tax cuts in Maine, where we're a poor, low-income
state. The tax reform bill of 2017?
Gave those tax breaks to the wealthiest corporations and families who, I promise you, do not live in Maine. And also undid the so many tenants of the Affordable Care Act, which is now in court. So in when she first started in 1996 and said she would only serve two terms in the Senate, I think she did make some much more votes that were more moderate, that votes were much more in line with the values of Maine people. But I think she's been in Washington so long that the special interest and that need to constantly raise money and doing that, six, 7 hours a day, they say, that senators spend raising that money, has made her forget who she is and who she represents. So I think it's that belief that we need someone in Washington who is on our side and who reflects Maine values. And if anyone ever thought Susan Collins was that, she certainly isn't now. And she has voted with this administration 87% of the time. So I think that moderate label that she has had in the past no longer applies and puts her out of step with the people of Maine.
It seems as though the only sort of Republicans left that are talking or opposing the Trump administration openly leave the party or leave their seats, like Jeff Flake or Justin Amash. If you are a practicing Republican lawmaker today, you're essentially part of the Trump machine unless you speak out. So you clearly distinguished yourself from where Susan Collins is. What about the other candidate running in the race, running for the Democratic nomination to challenge Susan Collins's seat, Sarah Gideon? She has received the endorsement of the official Democratic Senatorial Committee. Why do you feel that you would be a better choice than her?
Well, I believe that Maine is lucky to have two really qualified women running for this seat, for this nomination. But I believe that the playbook that got us into this mess is not the playbook that's going to get us out of this mess. And I think that, so having been in that electoral system and having to raise leadership money from corporations, from special interests, which is how it works and which is what has happened, is not the thing that is going to allow us to have someone who is always on our side. So I think I've seen the power of what happens when people come together against all odds. As I said, I helped write the first clean elections law in the country. By bringing people together and by understanding what Maine values were. The same thing is true for family medical leave. Maine had the first Family Medical Leave Act in the country, and I wrote that law and then helped get it passed. And so those kinds of things where we do the first, you know, I think are important. And the other thing I think is it's a different way of looking at things. I don't think we are going to solve the problems that we have without fundamental structural changes. I don't think that nibbling at the edges of these problems or bringing the proverbial water can to the fire is what's going to change. So I think it's time to stand up and tell the truth about those things and offer bold solutions like Medicare for all, like a Green New Deal that focuses on a regionalized economy where people in Maine, I mean, Maine could be one of the exporters for New England and maybe the nation of clean energy. But we're not going to do it with a tax incentive here and a tax incentive there. We're going to have to tackle the money that's given, the subsidies that are given to the fossil fuel industry, and to go after those and go after those. And it's hard to do when you're accepting money on their behalf.
And so,
you know, they're investing in you for a reason. So, yeah.
You're suggesting that Sarah Gideon, who is actually the speaker, current speaker of the Maine House of Representatives, in her bid to win that Democratic nomination for Susan Collins' seat, is accepting the kinds of donations that you don't think make her independent.
Well, I think that she has said she's not going to take any corporate PAC money. And isn't it fascinating and fantastic that because of Alexandria and Justice Democrats, that now that is the politically important right. thing to say, is that you won't take corporate PAC money. But in her role as leadership, as a leader in the state house, she has taken that money in the past. So I'm glad she's not taking it now, or says she's not taking it now. But if we look at the whole structure of the Democratic Senate Campaign Committee and the machine, we know how that works, right? We know that they give money to leadership PACs, and then leadership PACs give money to the candidates. So it's just a one step removed process from that. And I think, you know, we are thrilled, I have to say, that we have raised almost 90% of our money is in contributions of $100 or less. And the vast majority of that is in contributions of people of $25 and less. This is a real people-powered movement. And we are very excited to be people-powered and to make sure that we reflect the values of the people that in Maine that I would represent.
So do you think that the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee's endorsement of Sarah Gideon for the seat over you represents that break between establishment Democrats in the party and the newer progressives that have entered the party now, and that seem to reflect more accurately many in the base of the Democratic Party, that there is this split that's sort of reflected in the Justice Democrats' endorsement versus the DSCC's endorsement?
I think so. I think what we're seeing is that this really intense concentration of the old playbook, mm-hmm. you know, is that the only way we can win a seat for the U.S. Senate or for the U.S. Congress, for that matter, is to raise a ton of money, put a lot of ads on, you know, and hope that that's going to win. I don't think that's the way people want to be engaged with in the political process. You know, when we ask people why they don't vote, you know, why they're disgusted with the political process, that's it. Because both sides are engaging in that same playbook. And so I think that, you know, it's interesting, the Democratic Senate Campaign Committee endorsed Sarah and has never talked to me. They never met with me. They never spoke with me. It wasn't even a conversation. And I think it's also a question of what we think will beat an incumbent three-term senator. I don't believe that doing it like she's doing it is what's going to win. I don't think that's what's going to get us out of this entrenched system of politics. I think we need, again, to have bold ideas and have an incredible grassroots, effective, individual, door-to-door, neighbors talking to neighbors, talking at kitchen tables, talking at picnic tables and the back of lobster boats and the back of trucks. That's how we're going to win this race, not by having an old formula that I think we're seeing around the country isn't effective anymore.
So the issues that are important to people in Maine that you've outlined briefly, can you tell us a little bit about the dissatisfaction that people see with Senator Susan Collins? Is Susan Collins not an effective representative anymore in the Senate for the residents of Maine?
Well, I believe that there are two, I mean, there are many issues, of course, but there are two or three that really are popping out right now, and I think in Maine and across the country. And the number one is healthcare and affordable prescription drugs. Maine is an older state. It is a growing older state. So healthcare, access to healthcare is really, really important. And again, these moving around the edges of this solution isn't going to work. We need Medicare for all. We need a one system, easy in, no wrong door access to that kind of healthcare. And so again, I don't think these marginal solutions are going to help. And Susan Collins, even though she did a good vote on the Affordable Care Act, then voted for the second issue, which she is very out of touch with Mainers, which is the tax cut vote. The tax plan. So the tax reform plan that she did not only gave most of the money to wealthy corporations and wealthy people, of which we do not have that many in Maine, and the average person here did not feel this great bump in their tax returns, but it also undid several provisions of the Affordable Care Act. And so those two things together put her very much out of step with the vast majority of Mainers. You know, we just had a referendum to expand Medicaid, and it passed overwhelmingly, and that was increasing access for healthcare. You know, we also have the issue of tariffs, and someone should be down there screaming and talking about these issues every single day as we see one of our major industries, lobstering and lobster, everyone knows about Maine lobster, right? Between climate change, between the right whale conversations, and between the tariffs, we're seeing that industry suffering incredibly with almost no response from Senator Collins. And so, you know, those are just, that's bread and butter issues for working families all up and down the coast of Maine. My grandfather was a lobsterman, and so I understand what it takes. And you are very dependent on the day's catch to pay your bills. And if we're not going to the mat every day for those working families and many other working families in Maine, then we're not doing our job.
I'm wondering, Betsy, how you hope this race plays out now over the next year and a half. I mean, or actually more like a year, right?
Yeah, well, I'm very excited. I think it will be a positive primary. In the primary race, I committed to not running, not being negative, not going after people, because I want whoever to win the primary to be, you know, successful against Susan Collins. And hopefully that's me. And if it's not me, then, you know, whoever it is, I want them to be successful. So I think that will be a positive primary. And again, I intend to be in every corner of the state, in every town, at people's kitchen tables, and, you know, everywhere people are, to listen, to talk, to inspire some hope and get some ideas, some great ideas. We have some really smart people here in Maine with great ideas on climate issues and on healthcare and on how to spur a regional economy. You know, what Maine is doing with food and organic farms and food to table stuff is amazing. So to really highlight those and have that provide hope, and to be able to work so hard to make government a source of good again in people's lives. Right? I mean, people are so cynical and disgusted with our politics that they sort of shut down what government can do. But a little bit of investment and support from government in Maine could make a huge difference in how our economy is and how the lives of working families are going to be in the state.
Right. Betsy, the position of a senator is, you know, very much a position that impacts federal policy. And I'm wondering how you would like to see those outside of Maine support your candidacy and support the issues that you were talking about. Some of those issues like Medicare for All or the Green New Deal are very much now bread and butter issues for progressives around the country. And there is quite strong solidarity between those who've already made it into Congress with one another, the squad, if you will, of women. Are you hoping to see yourself as part of a crop of progressives for this next 2020 election? Work together.
Oh, yes. I would be so honored to be part of that team. I mean, I think that what those folks have done already have absolutely changed the discussion and changed the politics of this country forever. And not just in terms of specific issues, putting the Green New Deal even on the agenda, right? Saying Medicare for all, put it on the agenda. That, I think that is just changing our politics forever. And so again, to be able to work together with people from all over this country for the things that the people in this country need and value. You know, I keep saying we need to just go back to the values that we have as Mainers, as Americans. I promise you, and you know this too, Sonali, there's not a person in Maine or this country who believes that if you're sick, you shouldn't be able to go to the doctor. What is the thing that keeps us? Every other industrialized nation in the world does it. What is the thing that keeps us from having that? It is the donations and the big money from the pharmaceutical companies, from the insurance companies that line the pockets of the politicians who are in charge and to make sure that we don't make any kind of progress and that their profits are protected. We have to challenge that. And isn't it amazing that there is a core group of people who are doing just that? And I would be so honored to join them.
And I should mention that there are several other candidates as well that are vying for that Democratic nomination, and even some independents that are running that will be trying to challenge Susan Collins. And of course, the Senate is such a critical place because there is such a narrow hold on it that the Republicans have with their narrow majority in the Senate. They have managed to pass legislation. They have been able to, sometimes with the help of a few centrists or right-wing Democrats, push through legislation or use their vice president's tie-breaking vote to push through unpopular legislation. So even one or two seats could make a big difference in terms of flipping them from red to blue in 2020. But what tends to get in the way of that really important issue is what Democrats and many in the media like to say as electability. So finally, I want to ask you about this issue of electability, because even Sarah Gideon, who's the House of Representative Speaker in Maine, and who has a bigger name, is seen as a long shot candidate than even compared to you. You're going to have a challenge getting proper media coverage. How do you respond to this question of electability?
Yes, that's a great question. So first of all, I think, you know, I always think about who decides this electability thing. You know, is it like some board in the sky that decides, a bunch of old white men who decide who can, you know, political strategists who decide who can win and who can't win? Because that's what it seems like to me. Because I think that, again, they were dead wrong about how well I would do in the governor's race. And I want to point out that except for one person, no politician in Maine who has run for a statewide office has ever won without running and losing first to get that name recognition. So I think that that puts me up. I think my name recognition is high. And I will also say that my favorability, you know, what they talk about, is very high because of the kind of race that we ran. And then the minute the primary is over and I lost, I went to work just as hard for the person who won that primary to make sure that she would be the next governor of Maine, which she is. So again, even though I would have preferred it to be me, I believe that any of us is better than what we have now. And so I will work for that. So I think that, I wish that the press would be more even. I wish, you know, there's a lot of things I wish, but you know what? The press, the polls, some board of people somewhere, I don't know where they live, who decide electability, none of that matters. The only people that count are the Maine voters. And I think that Maine voters look at this race and they see that how we run is how we will govern. And if we are talking with them in their communities, in touch with them, listening to the challenges, that is exactly how we will carry out, that is exactly how I will carry out my duties as a senator. And I think that's what people are missing right now, and that's what they're looking for. So I think electability only matters on election day, and it means that, you know, I do think it means that for those of us who want to change, we have to decide, you know, what's going to work. Because, and then, you know, people run negative ads, they do all that stuff because they say it works. Well, I think we need to say to people and get it in people's consciousness, every time you see an ad of Susan Collins, I want you to think about who paid for that ad, because there'll be lots of them. She's going to have unlimited resources. But I want you to think about who paid for them, and does that get her closer to representing the Maine values and having someone in the Senate who's on our side, or further away? And if we can start to say, you know what, that stuff isn't going to work for us, similar to the DSCC in Washington deciding who the Maine candidate should be. In Maine, we have ranked choice voting. We care a lot about having access to all people to be able to be in races. I think a robust primary is really important, and it strengthens our candidates. And so for the DSCC to put their thumb on the scale, or in this case, their whole body on the scale, to try and clear out this race, I think is a big mistake. And I think Maine people see that and know that.
Give out a website, yeah. Betsy, where people can find out more about your candidacy.
Thank you. Yes, it's BetsySweet.com. We would love people's help from across this country because it's going to make a difference in the Senate. You can join to donate. You can also help us volunteer. You can help us with phone calls. You can help. Lots of people know people in Maine, or they come to vacation in Maine. Come, we'll put you to work.
Thank you so much, Betsy. Good luck to you.
Thank you so much, Sonali, for having me. I really appreciate it.
My guest is Betsy Sweet, former director of the Maine Women's Lobby and the Maine Commission for Women. She ran as a candidate for governor of Maine last year, and she recently announced her candidacy against Senator Susan Collins. She's been endorsed by the Justice Democrats and other progressive groups. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at Rising Up at sonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.